Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Today, we're hearing about this month's club episode, The Revenge of Bigfoot.
We're talking to the star of that episode, Stuart Allen. Stuart has played Buddy Norman for more than 6 years now, and as the character has grown, so has Stuart.
We've interviewed Stuart before on the podcast, but now it's time to go in-depth about acting and Odyssey. Let's do this thing. Stuart, great to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're a bit older than the character of Buddy. In fact, we heard that you recently had final exam week at college. Now, college is a busy time for a lot of people. How do you balance your schooling with your acting? And how'd you do in your exams? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Well, so far, all I know is I've got three of my exams back, A's and B's, that sort of range. So, yeah. But on the topic of, balancing it with acting and so forth, I've just learned you really got to be good at time management. that's one thing. Two, you also, and this is hard for me to say as a perfectionist, but you have to know when enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's just true.
And then the other times of it too is like, working through art projects and working through essays and visual presentations. It's like, I really like to try to make sure that like I've closed all my loopholes. Everything sounds amazing. And I'm one of those standout students. You can't always do for every single one of your classes. You got to pick and choose. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And same obviously goes for balancing that with, getting personal time, having time with friends and family, and just making sure that you stay mentally sane through all of it. So,
well, it's obvious you've taken your education very seriously, and that probably goes all the way back, probably when you were younger, elementary school, middle school, all that. So when did you decide you wanted to be an actor? And back then, did you even imagine the potential of a career that you could have there?
It's funny enough. Originally, I didn't. I was just a kid who fell in love with The Lion King, Treasure Planet, despite its box office fail. That film
I
will
love
always
that film.
Hold
it
the presence
actually,
of my heart.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, I found allies in the world of Treasure Planet. Anyway, but ultimately, just like I remember doing stories of like I would literally reenact that scene from The Lion King where I wake up my dad at 5 in the morning and have him looking over our living room and doing the whole everything the light touches. that whole bit. And my dad just being half asleep through it all and just me loving every minute of it. And of course, also, I used to do Star Wars parodies with my cousins when I go visit them in Florida. And it didn't really even occur to me to even attempt to it until we did a talent competition. And I got invited out to LA. And my parents were like, all right, we'll go. He'll see he's mediocre. We can move on with our lives. That didn't happen. Shortly after that, I got an agent and I started, kind of being bi-coastal. And then I just hit the ground running when I was around 11, 12?
Mm. Well, fast forward to now, because obviously you're studying in college. Do you anticipate that acting is going to be your full-time job moving forward, or is it something that you're going to mix with something else?
I imagine it being a part of it. And because I'm also looking to delve into, ironically enough, these are words that I never thought that I'd hear myself say in a million years, but writing and producing.
Ah, nice.
Yes. I'm working. I've been writing for the past 2 years. I took a screenwriting class once and I was like, I was always afraid of like I was looking at, maybe doing cinematography, going into editing, which I also do those things as well. I've been doing those more on the indie level. But writing was one I was so terrified of, things like writer's block and like that I would never have original ideas. I'd always be looking at something else, never have my own vision. So I was like, well, why even bother with it? And my parents were telling me, no, you should give it a try. And I was like, you know what? Fine. There's a screenwriting class here that I snuck my way into and I'll take it. So lots of possibilities, but primarily writing, producing in conjunction with acting is a hope.
Yeah. And it, because you do understand actors and what it is to act, I just have a question. What's the biggest misconception people have about acting and voice acting in particular?
I wouldn't say necessarily misconceptions, just maybe there's a lot of people who have, I guess, certain prejudices against it. Like back where I was from, which is like northern town, Virginia, right outside of DC, where the only thing you were going to be is you were going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a businessman. If you weren't any of those three things, you were an outcast. But at the same time, you know, when you do what you love, you make it work at the same time.
Yeah.
And I've made it work in my own degree, and I've had a very supportive family who will help me with that. And voice acting in particular, I've seen people have a tendency to kind of demean it as like, oh, you're not using your body. You don't have to go through makeup and costumes. You could just show up in your PJs if you wanted to. Not to say I haven't done that. The bright side, though, I feel of voice acting is it really emphasizes a lot more tension, focus into what you can do with your voice and how you can only with your voice use that to distinctify a character, especially in the realms of like animation, radio dramas, etc., where voiceover is so, so, so key alongside with visuals.
Well, you know, we've talked to a number of actors that have come from the world of either TV, film, stage, and they've realized that to do voiceover work, they lose a lot of the tools that they were using in their toolbox for the other gigs that they had. You can't use facial expressions and you can't use gestures, and you've got to convey all of that through your voice. So you may have taken some ribbing from people who don't think it's a real job. But boy, those who've done both, a lot of them say that the harder job is voiceover.
Indeed. Yeah. And like on the note of facial expressions and everything too, actually, not to say you can't use them, because if you actually look at two actors who use one versus who doesn't, you can definitely tell the difference in quality of voice. I've been taught that like smiling, even when it doesn't even feel appropriate to smile, absolutely changes the behavior and how your voice conveys itself and how you stand and how you move around the booth. So it all is there. You just can't readily see it. So you have to find a way to incorporate that and use that to your advantage.
Yeah. Well, your first acting job for Odyssey was not, in fact, playing Buddy Norman. Some people don't know that, but club members will recall that you did the voice of Laszlo Farnsworth, a bully from Wits Past, in The Journal of John Avery Whitaker. Tell us what it was like at your first Odyssey session.
Yes. No, I loved coming in and reading with the cast. First and foremost, I'm a big fan of more round robin style voiceover. Mm-hmm. When you're working with other people and just doing all the banter and just kind of passing the script back and forth to one another and adjusting it in response to how they say it. Like, well, he said it like this. So how would I really say it in response to that versus just kind of like imagining what they might say in your head and giving a response to that? So it feels a lot more cohesive, I feel. And I was really, really appreciative of that. And just it made the whole experience more genuine. And then just also, it was fun to come in and play an over-the-top, dishy-washy, little boy.
Okay, so how did that role lead to you getting the character of Buddy in a predicament of biblical proportions?
I started with it just as I do all of the scripts. I remember auditioning for it. I got the scripts, and I just read the character. And I was really a fan of his quiet, reserved, smart exterior, but like a hurricane lying underneath with his imagination. Kind of reminds me of, honestly, my own anxieties as a kid that I'm still dealing with, but learning to control these days, and how I like catastrophize things way more than they need to be. And just kind of learning to live between the realms of fantasy and reality.
You'd allude to the inner tension there. At first glance, Buddy does seem to be kind of a funny character because of those imaginary journeys he takes inside of his head. But, you know, we have also seen Buddy's serious side.
Indeed.
Which do you find more comfortable to play?
Honestly, both, actually. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds like a cheap answer, but it's honestly the truth. As an actor and, you know, like I said, more recently, endeavoring into the worlds of writing as well, I love stories that take personal truths and throw them into fantastical context. So playing a character like Buddy is like bread and butter to me in regard of that, a nice mix of the two where I can get to those emotional lows and kind of have things more in realism and play with that side versus having things go caution to the wind and get to have an entire new spectrum, but still have it tied back to those serious moments because you know, like what happens there is affected by the real world and he catastrophizes everything. Finding ways to mix the two is often super crucial. And I feel Buddy does a very, very good job of that.
Oh, he does. You know, and in the latest club episode, The Revenge of Bigfoot, you know, it has a lot of drama, but let's just say it, a lot of yelling too. So people in the voiceover industry often talk about vocal fatigue. Did you experience that during the recording of that episode? And then how do you just deal with that in general?
I've just found the biggest key is one thing, tea, tea, and more tea.
Oh, nice.
Tea is always something that you're going to need. And as well, just like not over hydrating your throat, but it's crucial to like say, have a lot of water beforehand if you have a shoot like that coming up. Like, I would do that a lot when I was playing the role of Robin Damian Wayne for DC Comics, where that's all fight scenes. There's a lot of energy that goes into that character. So I would end up drinking water like 2 or 3 full canteens of it, like 3 hours ahead of time, to where my voice was hydrated and that water was kind of built in. So it softened the blow a lot of the time for those greater moments and allowed me to kind of keep my vocal energy and consistency throughout the rest of the shoot.
Well, playing Batman sidekick, I would think, involves a lot of yelling or what we refer to as vocal efforts, right? So, so talk about that. Talk about what is involved in that.
Yes, of course. It's way more than just a yeah. Ugh. It's really a lot about, I mean, unless it's more of a cartoony, character-y aesthetic, you really got to find a way to, you know, feel like, well, what is it like to get punched without literally getting punched in the booth? And really just kind of thinking like, how would that really feel if you got punched in the gut, and trying to replicate that in its full and purest form? Everything from heavy breathing to, you know, like how you would hold your body and contort it and, you know, twist your lungs and everything by doing so. Like, I would often like hug myself after getting like a big punch kick out of me and like trying to shaking and like trying to pull myself up. Well, when trying, like, just after getting thrown through a wall, there's a lot of subtlety to it.
Oh, yeah. Getting back to Bigfoot, you know, all the Odyssey actors get the script shortly before they're recording. So what was your reaction upon reading the Revenge of Bigfoot script?
I love all the scenes just, like, you know, with him and his good buddy, like, how they would often just, like, you know, debate over those comics and, like, you know, just how it starts with all those, like, you know, little nuances, and then suddenly Bigfoot is involved, and then, you know, you go on this crazy journey, and then it ends on a very, very good message. I mean, obviously that's, you know, what's expected of good storytelling, but the way that, you know, Bigfoot did it as well is that it brought up some really good themes and thoughts on the issues surrounding, you know, what is real and what is fake, especially in the realm of like science and facts.
Oh, very true.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So when, as you've been reading the scripts, you're someone who's writing now. I'm going to give you a chance to brag on our writers at Adventures in Odyssey. What are some of the things that you notice in the scripts that you think, that's just good writing?
You know, one episode, actually, I remember the most recently in these recording sessions, and I can't talk too much about it because it hasn't been released yet, but it involves these kids trying to create something, you know, like Buddy and his friends, and it going very, very wrong. There's a lot of, you know, who has say over what in the script, and just kind of where things go, and a lot of tug of war, I guess I'll put it.
Okay.
In addition to just kind of like, you know, really playing into Buddy's imagination as well with all these really, really cool aesthetics. And but at the end of the day, realizing at the end that their arguments were the answer this entire time. And that to me was very, 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 very well written. Because honestly, it was something that I actually wasn't really expecting. I was expecting, you know, they would, you know, just try to find a way to compromise and make it all work. But ironically enough, that compromise did come to that conclusion, but it came in a way that I didn't expect it. And that's really, I think, a thing that a lot of writers really need to nail in the industry, and many do, where in some way or form, many stories have already been told. It's the execution that is key to everything. Your personal spin on how these series of events play out. Adventures in Odyssey just really knows how to find a way to navigate that execution and throw the curveball. And I really, really appreciate that of the writing staff.
Yes, and I think we can say that the other characters involved with Buddy in that tug of war are Zoe and Jay. And I think we're going to leave it at that.
Leave it at that. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I realize it's been a rather different year in the past here, but have you been able to interact much with Adventures in Odyssey fans? And if so, what was that like?
Yeah, no, well, unfortunately, in the realm of the pandemic, I was not able to meet any fans as of yet. On the bright side, though, before the pandemic came around, I remember two instances, most particularly. One was when a fan came over to the studio once to watch us record, I believe. I think it was a little girl, and, you know, she had all these pictures, and she just was so emphatic about the show and just loved everything so much, and we took pictures, and she was just great. Yeah, so, so sweet. And then another instance, I was going to Final Call for a series regular at Nickelodeon, and one of the other actors there was a fan, and he recognized my voice, and he's like, oh, hey, do you mind if like we take a picture real quick before we go on in? I was like, yeah, real quick.
And you'd be surprised that you could find Odyssey fans everywhere. And speaking of Odyssey fans, it's time for our
TRQ,
which is a totally random question submitted by a listener. See, I told you there might be a curveball or two in here. This one seems appropriate since Buddy is often afraid of getting hurt. AveryJoy28 asks, have you ever broken any bones? And if the answer is yes, I'm guessing she'd like to know which one, or he'd like to know which one.
No, I have never broken a bone in my life, and I am both relieved by that and also saddened by that, because I feel like I'm missing out on a journey. But
there's still time, Stuart.
Yeah.
There is still time.
final question for you. You know, if a studio decided to turn your life into a movie, the Stuart Allen story, which actor would you want to play you, and what part of your life would the movie focus on?
Oh goodness. I feel like I kind of want to be that guy who's like, I've put my answer out in the void for those who hear it. I appreciate you. I'm moving on with my life. But at the same time, you know, I do stand for things that, you know, I'd like to, you know, be seen made more prevalent in our world. Conversations on empathy, perspective, and understanding, and finding the fun and comedy and bright side and everything you can. It's really stuff I try to stay true to in my own writing. So if someone were to take my life and use it for something like that, I'd like that message to be communicated above all else. And maybe some fast-paced fantasy action sequences to go along with it. But in terms of actors, though, this may be a far stretch, but hey, Tom Holland's always a good pick.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Well, you know, Stuart, it's been great talking with you. And I'm glad that when we had you play Laszlo Farnsworth, that we saw something in you that said, we want this guy back. We want him to be a regular.
Oh, yeah.
And you've become a real part of the family here at Adventures in Odyssey, and we thank you for that.
I feel like one, so I really, really appreciate to hear that. Thank you so much.
Yes. Real pleasure talking to you today. Thanks so much.
Revenge of Bigfoot is available in the club right now. Join today at aioclub.org.
In other news, we have a Q&A podcast coming up. If you have questions about the recent Album 70, the upcoming Album 71, the characters on Odyssey, Bigfoot, or anything really, give us a call on our toll-free comment line at 1-855-784-WIT. That's 9448. You may hear your question on a future podcast.
Always be sure to have your parents' permission before you call.
Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to focus on the family.
Our website is adventuresinodyssey.com. You can join the club at aioclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.
Focus on the Family and Adventures in Odyssey present the Imagination Station books, an exciting series for readers ages 6 and up. Through Wit's greatest invention, young readers will travel to the Colosseum in ancient Rome and a longboat in Greenland.
I am Eric the Red.
They're Vikings.
And there's so much more. When you visit theimaginationstation.com, you can find study guides and devotionals, plus fun family activities. More information at theimaginationstation.com or 1-800-A-FAMILY.